You know the feeling. You plop down, open Netflix, and start scrolling to find something. But you keep scrolling and scrolling. And eventually you scroll for so long, you do one of two things. You randomly pick something or, as the meme famously goes, you watch The Office for the fifth time. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for Charles Horak. My guest today is a cinephile I greatly admire, my friend Oscar Garza. Today we're going to offer some Netflix suggestions so you can spend less time scrolling and more time watching great cinema. Morning, Oscar.
Morning, Kyle. How are you?
Pretty good. So let's get right to the Netflix parts. So for my film, I've chosen Copycat. Came out in 1995. It is a crime thriller, sort of in the same vein as Manhunter, Silence of the Lambs. But this one is a very interesting film because, I don't know if you noticed, but Hollywood tends to release films in batches.
Yeah.
You have it with Armageddon and Deep Impact.
Yes.
And what else? You did it with the dueling Snow White films.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So this film, very unfortunately, opened a few weeks after David Fincher's Seven exploded onto the scene and became the cultural phenomenon that it rightfully became.
Yeah.
The really sucky thing is that Copycat is a great, great little film, and everybody seems to forget about it. So the film, which stars Sigourney Weaver and Holly Hunter, follows a psychologist and a detective, played by Weaver and Hunter, respectively, who piece together the trail of a serial killer who is copying infamous murders from other killers. And they're very macabre stuff. You have Jeffrey Dahmer, the Boston Strangler. And the film doesn't pull any of its punches when it comes to the violence.
Yeah.
It's not graphic. It's not brutal. But it certainly doesn't hide anything. And there's sort of a meticulous nature in the recreation of the crime scenes that just makes you want to pull at the thread of this film even more. The film, more so than Seven, and I'm going to compare it quite frequently to this film
because
they're very close to each other.
It seems like they're very close together.
Sort of goes in the opposite direction of Seven, where Seven became sort of locked and fascinated with the machinations of murder.
Yeah.
Copycat instead doubles down on its female leads. You have this wonderful character, MJ, played by Holly Hunter, who has a lot of shades of what Clarice Starling should have been or could have been and kind of goes in the opposite direction. And same for Weaver's character, who is an agoraphobic. So there's a lot of these moments where you see Weaver, who's played such strong, independent woman, and you have this person who's sort of crippled with this ailment, and watching her sort of think her way out of the challenges in the film is just, it's a great, great performance on her end.
Nice. So it's kind of like Jimmy Stewart in Vertigo.
Yeah, kind of like that. And it uses a lot of those same kind of optical camera tricks.
Yeah.
I'm glad this film kind of came out before CG would have, you know,
probably
made it worse.
Yes.
It's worth noting that where Seven has aged incredibly well, it's fairly timeless in terms of its presentation.
Yeah.
Copycat is firmly rooted in the mid-90s. You know, you can look at it in the
just
way
like
that...
Hackers. Just like Hackers is.
Just like Hackers. The way it sort of presents the internet, the way it presents sort of cyber threats, things like that, they're very pixelated and they're of their era.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look cheesy. There might be, you know,
like a nostalgic sheen.
Yeah.
There's
something about it. And I think that's what kind of makes it kind of enjoyable to watch, you know, a couple decades after it has been released.
Nice.
I should also add that Seven is also available on Netflix.
Yes,
so if
it
you
is.
Wanted to make it a double feature, I said check that one out. And then if you really wanted to punish yourself with great cinema.
Yes.
I would recommend watching Manhunter, Silence of the Lambs, Copycat, and Seven.
Yes.
Those would be just kind of like the great
crime dramas
of that era.
Michael Mann is awesome.
So good.
Yeah, Manhunter is a great Michael Mann film. Well, my choice, I was thinking, trying to think a little bit outside the box, as you mentioned, like hidden gems. And to me, like one of my favorite hidden gems from recently was the Coen brothers' Inside Llewyn Davis, which is just this beautiful, great journey through 1960s folk scene in America. And so it follows Llewyn Davis, who's played by Oscar Isaac, and he's this, inspired by folk singer Dave Van Ronk, and you know, he's going through, you know, his trying to find his place in life. And he has references to the Odyssey. It's this journey through Americana, basically, and through the music folk scene. And it's beautiful and haunting and heartbreaking at times. Definitely heartbreaking at times.
Very.
Very heartbreaking.
The cat.
The CAD, there's this one sequence that kind of epitomizes the whole scene, and it's with Eve Marie Abraham. I don't want to give anything away, but it kind of touches on the issue of art and kind of what, you know, art means for artists in that way. And I think anybody who's kind of, you know, identified as a writer, as a musician, as a director, as a filmmaker, anything, as a, you know, as an actor, can identify with those, with that sequence in particular, just because it's so, it's something that I think everybody has gone through. And yeah, so it's amazing. It's great.
And beautifully shot too. Who's,
yeah.
Bruno
Del Bonello. Yeah. Who's not a normal Coen Brothers cinematographer, just because Roger Deakins, it's usually there. It's his jam, but yeah, it's beautiful work. Yeah. Like, it's kind of like this warm / cold look at New York, 1960s. Yeah.
So in case those films don't catch your interest, Oscar and I kind of went through some other genres and picked other hidden gems. The one that I'm still sort of thinking about over and over again, and it's still on Netflix, it's The Founder. Came out in 2016, yes. Directed by John Lee Hancock. When you look at like the marketing materials of the film, it looks like it's going to be this sanitized, corporate, family-friendly film.
Yeah.
But the movie, which centers on the rapid rise of McDonald's, and particularly Ray Kroc's hand in it, who is played by Michael Keaton, this film takes a very sort of serious look at it. It's actually, you know, with the exception of its very kind of golden tinted cinematography, it's this nasty little movie. It's kind of in the same vein of The Social Network.
Yes.
In terms of people doing
awful
very
stuff.
Awful stuff to people in very sort of upfront and legal ways.
Yeah. Like it's this indictment of like capitalism.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's in Michael Keaton, who's been on a roll for the past, 8 years, just knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
I think he's better in this one than he was in Birdman. And I think it's a wonderful little film, and I highly recommend checking it out. And the other one, just to kind of make a hard right turn, is Mr. Nobody.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
Literally you and one other person have talked about this movie.
I really love that.
Yeah, it's like this intimate, heady science fiction film that kind of takes the what-if questions and just runs with it.
Yeah.
The film stars Jared Leto and indie queen Sarah Pauli. It's filled with these surreal, dreamlike visuals. Yeah. So that's Mr. Nobody. And then if you're looking for a show that you can sort of pick up and put down, I would also recommend checking out American Vandal. The series has a lot of toilet humor in it. I mean, it's rooted in toilet humor.
Yes.
But if you can get past that, and I mean this quite sincerely, this is probably the sharpest parody I've seen in the last 15 years.
Nice.
So, so good.
I've heard a ton of amazing stuff about
and
American Vandal.
If you like The Thin Blue Line, season one is just like littered with references to that infamous film.
Nice.
So that's my title selection. What's yours?
I think, you know, I'm going with the Coen love here. So I'm going to recommend The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which won Best Screenplay at the Venice Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this great, you know, ensemble, obviously. They're big with ensemble cast, and it's this great kind of love letter to the Western genre. And as opposed to just being like a single story, it's multiple stories. So you have The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, you have Nero Godones, Meal Ticket, Old Gold Canyon, The Gal Who Got Rattled, and finally The Mortal Remains. And yeah, it has a great casting. Blake Nelson is in it, James Franco, Liam Neeson, Tom Waits. Tom Waits' segment, by the way, is this, if you ever want to see a kind of John Ford kind of visually lush Western,
mm-hmm.
as if directed by the Coen brothers, it's beautiful.
That's the one.
Yeah, it has, you know, all, they have shades of like Stagecoach as well, but it's so kind of, just like their, you know, like a bunch of their stuff, it ranges from being really hilarious to being ultra depressing. And yeah, it has, it kind of manages to pull all those tones perfectly. And, you know, it was also shot by Bruno Del Bonello, who also shot Ansel Lewin Davis, mm-hmm. and Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, which I always say it's a kind of great, it's the most visually stunning of all the Harry Potter films.
Yeah.
But Ballad of Buster Scruggs is fantastic. And like we were talking before the show, how it kind of doesn't feel like True Grit. You brought up True Grit. And it kind of almost feels like this deconstruction / not necessarily a parody Western, mm-hmm. but more like this revisionist Western of really kind of, you know, taking apart the genre and looking at it through this, you know, at times ultra silly lens to being something that analyzes like the human condition essentially.
And of the shorts, you know, are they all sort of coalesced together?
Not really, no. They're all really separate in their own way. I mean, like the first short, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, is this, it's Tim Blake Nelson basically singing his way through shootouts and heist. And it's this kind of really jaunty, you know, segment, while something like The Mortal Remains, it's the one with Brendan Gleeson, it's the last one, is this really somber, like, look at death and kind of, you know, the like the perseverance of life.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me more about the one with Zoe Kazan real quick.
Yeah, that's the one, The Gal Who Got Rattled, and it's it essentially kind of follows her plight through kind of the Oregon Trail as well. But it's kind of very kind of romantic slash depressing as well. Yeah. I don't know.
So is she sort of a strong female character in sort of like the Marge Gunderson sort of way, or is she a woman of a different shade in the Coen universe?
A woman of a different shade in the Coen. Yeah, she's definitely not Marge from Fargo as well. Yeah, no. I can never pronounce her last name. No, she's definitely a different character, a different type of character, a different type of, yeah, Western hero that we've seen before. She's a little bit, it's kind of, they're doing almost like a little bit more of a straightforward, like, kind of romance type of thing, but not really.
So it's not like Meek's Cutoff?
No, not like Meek's Cutoff as well, which has a great kind of...
Michelle Williams.
Yeah, Michelle Williams, which is a great kind of... or like something like The Keeping Room, which came out like a couple of years ago with Britt Marling. Yeah, she's not... It's a different type of woman, for sure. It's not the gunslinger type of woman, but it's different.
More tender?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can definitely see she has a, you know, a dog sidekick. Not really a sidekick, but there's a kind of, let's just say that she's just trying to make her way through the Western landscape, which is, you know, filled with danger, you know, from anything to like the environment to just finding your way in like this harsh, brutal place.
Yeah, out of all the shorts, that one piques my interest.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's definitely kind of like thought-provoking.
My guest today has been Oscar Garza. We've been discussing a small selection of films, including Copycat, Seven, The Founder, Mr. Nobody, Inside Llewyn Davis, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, these sort of great titles that are available on streaming right now. All of them, with the exception of Llewyn Davis, are available on Netflix. Davis is available on Amazon Video. An archive of past On Film programs can be found at ktep.org. On Film's producer and engineer is Seth Van Meter. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for Charles Horak. Thank you for joining me for On Film.